Britain will not be allowed within the city limits for at least 6 months, beginning on the 28th of this month. Such is the decision made by Beaverton's city councillors on Tuesday. And briefly, the National Weather Service has this for us. Slight chance of rain today, but later on, overcast skies, well, duh, how else would you get rain, with a high near 53. And the National Weather Service claims that we've got east winds 8 miles per hour. I don't think so. Certainly not out in the gorge. Tonight, rain mostly, late lows around 41, and east-northeast wind. And for tomorrow, rain lightly, highs around 50. Again, they've got the wind business all wrong, at least in my case. And for tomorrow night, again, expect a bit of rain, low clouds, and temperatures around 42. We still don't have alternative forecasts. We should have a banging good one, though, by the end of the week. And that's it, though, for the conventional weather, as well as a few headlines. It's an ominously level day as far as mainstream news and, for that matter, alternative news, although coming up on the 8th is a major action against coal. Right now, let's welcome, though, John Barclay with Free Geek. Many listeners know him well. We're delighted to have him live here in the KBOO studios. We're going to begin a discussion on encryption, decryption, and what we're talking about. What are we talking about when we talk about open source, and why is it so critical to a workable, secure system of encrypting and decrypting our personal messages?
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate the invite to talk to the KBOO community. I'm an instructor at freegeek.org in Southeast Portland at Southeast 10th and Mill. Our website for our classes is freegeek.org/classes, and there I teach internet security. And we know that open source software is essential for trustworthy encryption and decryption, which is, according to Edward Snowden and many other cybersecurity experts, the only way you can rely on your information not reaching people you don't want to see having your information. Open source simply means that the programming code, the programming language used to make up the programming that you rely on for everything on your computer, well, that programming is published. Anyone can read it, anyone can use it, anyone can comment on it. So, number one, any security problems are visible to programmers, and the open source community relies on everyone seeing how the programming works. Number two, it lets people who see the programming test it, verify it, and know that it's reliable. Programmers have many different ways to keep your information secure. And if that programmer who wrote the programming that you use made a mistake, that mistake will become visible quickly. Closed source, things like Microsoft or Apple programming, that we don't know what goes into it. We don't know how secure it is, and many cybersecurity experts have noted a very close connection between Microsoft and the National Security Agency. Not only are the actions of government putting your privacy at risk, but the actions of cyber hackers put your privacy at risk. And if you have open source trustworthy software like the Zubuntu that goes on every PC from FreeGeek, Well, that free open source software protects you not only against government intrusion, but against commercial hackers, the freelance socialist, as we'd like to call it, people who want your information so that they can take money from your pocket and put it into theirs. And open source is essential for securing your systems. The British Communications Agency, the GCSE, has even gone so far as to say Linux, the foundation of Ubuntu, is the most secure computing platform, period. And it'll run on your computer, whether you have a PC, whether you have a Mac, whether you have an old machine that won't run Windows XP or won't run anything newer than Windows XP. Zubuntu will work, and we teach it free at Free Geek.
What about, I've got a couple of questions here, too, that probably there's a lot to talk about. Is there an easy way to test if you do have products from Microsoft or use Google or any of these, or Apple, is there a way of testing for backdoors that an average person could do if you have a Microsoft or an Apple product? We know that these companies build backdoors into their products. And for taking a look at what you're doing, and how do you know if they're there?
Well, the importance of open source software cannot be overstressed here. We know that there are backdoors because the law enforcement community gets first access to every security leak. Perhaps you've heard of Patch Tuesday. That's when Microsoft, the second Tuesday of every month, sends out their security updates. Well, what happens on the day after Patch Tuesday if there's a security leak in a program found? Answer, Microsoft sends that to the NSA and other agencies who have 30 days to play with that insecurity in order to get into the computers of people that they're interested in. Now, if you take the National Security Agency at face value that they don't do anything evil, well, consider that the next Edward Snowden
like Google
may have a gambling problem or a substance abuse problem, or may have a family situation where instant cash is important, and they may be ethically challenged, as we say, and may take your information and sell it on the black market. And there's a hefty market for that, as I explain in my classes. So even if the NSA was perfect, its employees are not. And if you use Windows because it's got an essential program for you, or if you use Mac OS, don't worry. If you have something for which privacy is important, you can turn off your PC or Mac, plug in a thumb drive loaded with secure Linux, the Tails CD especially, and reboot, and you reboot off the thumb drive, and you're using open source secure software instead of the leaky stuff that is sold by Microsoft and Apple. So you don't have to switch over immediately. It's a painless process because a web browser is a web browser. And you don't have to become a computer genius. I don't have a degree in this stuff. I've worked in the industry, but you don't need to worry, even if you have to stay with Mac OS or with Windows, there's still the Tails CD and come down to Free Geek and learn about it. Freegeek.org.classes has the list of free classes that we offer to the community.
Just on that note, we are pretty much out of time. Is there any other idea that you feel is critical that you would like to leave listeners with to think about, like, what actually is GNU, what is TALES, like, some of these questions that is good to be left with questions to think about, because we want to have you back.
Why, thank you. Don't worry over much about the internet, because anything that you send over it, if it's not encrypted, is available to anyone in the business who wants to know. If you have privacy concerns, learn encryption, get the TALES CD or live thumb drive, and learn that, and you'll be very secure.
Thanks so much for that. My guest has been John Barkley with Free Geek. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, February 26, 2014. Tammy Dean engineered the show today. Thanks so much, Tammy. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints. Who's in charge in Kiev? What will be the fate of the Russian-speaking population, which makes up some 30% of the country? Also, we'll remember Latino photographer and activist Frank Espada through the eyes of his son, award-winning Latino poet Martin Espada. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. Well, a lot is going on in Kiev and in the rest of that country. There is some grave concern about what is going on. Will it end up being an extreme right operation? What will happen to the Russian-speaking population? Will it break into one or two or three countries? There was an introduction, a resolution to outlaw the Communist Party of Ukraine. A lot of other things going on. Joining us to talk about what might be some of the deeper issues is a good friend of this show. His name is Francis Boyle. Francis Boyle is a professor at the University of Illinois College of Law and author of Tackling America's Toughest Questions. Francis Boyle, welcome back to Flashpoints. There's a lot more going on there than is being reported by the Western media, which is only in Kiev. You want to talk about some of your concerns, what you see happening here?
Well, Dennis, I think what was reported, we do know that Victoria Nuland, Obama's Assistant Secretary of State for European Affairs, was over there working with the U.S. Ambassador Pyatt on what I would call a brown shirt revolution to go along with the color-coded scheme of these other color resolutions. She admitted that they had put in a minimum of $5 billion to overthrow the Yanukovych government, which, by the way, was democratically elected. And it also appears she, Nuland, and the ambassador had been working hand in glove with the three leaders of the opposition at that time, Klitschko, who also is in the employ of the Germans, Yatsenyuk, whom she affectionately called Yats, and then the head of Svoboda. Svoboda is a neo-Nazi party and direct descendants of the Nazi collaborators under Bandera during the Second World War. And as we know, the German army, the Wehrmacht, exterminated maybe 2.5 million Jews and other Slavs in the Ukraine. So these people that we were working with, that we were encouraging to overthrow a democratically elected government, were neo-Nazis, fascists. This right sector is even worse. If you, you know, just look at the pictures coming out of there, the Ukraine, you have this movement to overthrow a democratically elected government. I'm not here to support, you know, Yanukovych one way or the other, but he was democratically elected. Skinheads, Nazis, neo-Nazis, right sector. It's so bad that the, you know, the chief Jewish rabbi there in Kiev has told everyone to get out of Kiev. Already they burned down the home of a Communist Party leader there in Kiev, threats against Jews, killing Russians, etc. Right now, there is no government in Ukraine. It's just a mob, a brown shirt mob in charge there in Kiev. And it's not exactly clear what is going to happen if the situation can be stabilized. So it's, you know, but this is a neocon plan. As we know, Nuland is a neocon. She used to work for Cheney, which tells us something. And she's married to Kagan, another Robert Kagan, a well-known neocon, which tells us everything we need to know about Obama, that he put in charge a neocon, a well-known, notorious neocon, in charge of European policy. But, you know, there's nothing new here. Remember, we've been paying off a rabble to overthrow democratically elected governments going all the way back to Iran when we overthrew their democratically elected government and put the Shah of Iran in power. So not that, you know, so we've been doing it. We did it in Guatemala. We've done it in many other countries. So this fits the, you know, the CIA playbook formulated by Kermit.